Think about that. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. All right? Well, let's go ahead and read verse 10. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Let me just ask you, based upon that, wouldn't you want that for your life? I would. I mean, all that was good stuff. All that was great. And we're going to look at that this morning in just a few of the ways, and one way in particular that I believe that I think as Christians, and I know in my life, I neglect this many times in my personal life. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Let's pray, and we'll get into the lesson. Father, I thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity that you give us to come to your house. Thank you for just another beautiful day you've given us. Thank you for the safety that you give everyone on the way here this morning. Lord, I was listening to some of the bus kids this morning, and they've got visitors that they're hoping that comes this morning later on, and I pray that if they, Lord, that they would come and that they would be welcomed, and that we would, as a church people, just reach out and not be self-centered and selfish and have a selfish mentality, Lord, but that we would reach out to others. Father, I pray that you just help us this morning, guide my words, and Lord, just help me to honor you this morning. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we saw here, verses 8 through 10 or 11, that it's a good thing. And God tells us that you can live a prosperous life. You can live a life that is a God-blessed life. All right, now I want you to go back to verse number 1. The Bible says, Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God, they ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? So what he's saying here is, okay, you say that you're a people that serve God, and you say that you're a people that honor God, but the only reason that you pray and the only reason that you fast is basically, as the Bible says, to consume it upon your own lust. To do with it, you just, you know, you pray to God so God will help you with your, you know, your personal little problem that you have. Now listen, I'm all for praying for personal problems and for fasting. You know, if you got a personal problem, that's fine. But what did he say? You're fasting for strife. You're fasting for wickedness. You're basically fasting, well, God, this person over here is not being nice to me. I pray that you'll just curse them. You know, that's ridiculous. That's silly. Okay? And I think God's saying, what are you doing? What are you doing here? You say that you're praying, but are you really praying the way, as Jesus said, praying in the will of God? But look at verse number 6. Look at verse number 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then we go into verse number 8, which we already read. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. When is this? After they fasted the way God wanted them to fast. So we're going to talk about fasting just a little bit this morning. Like I said, this is something that, honestly, I don't do a very good job at. And you know why we don't fast? And I'm going to probably preach a message on this maybe when Pastor's gone. But we don't like to deprive our flesh of what our flesh wants. You know, when your flesh is strong, your spirit is weak. And when your spirit's strong, your flesh is weak. That's why God asks us to fast, is to weaken our flesh so that our spirit can be stronger. Okay, does that make sense? You know, fasting isn't just a, you know, oh, I'm not going to eat for these many days. What good does that do you, honestly, to not eat for that many, for whatever, or for a meal? You know what it is? It's saying, no, flesh, you're hungry, but flesh, you're not getting what you want right now. So flesh, I'm putting you second, which is where the flesh needs to be. I'm putting you second so that the spirit can be stronger right now. And that's what fasting is, okay? But we're gonna look at this morning. Go to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. Hold your place there. We're going to come back to that. Mark chapter number 9, verse number 17. The Bible says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." And I'm going to stop just a second right there, okay? This is kind of a side note. But there are a lot of things. You know what this situation, if this would have happened in today's society, they would have tried to give this boy medicine. They would have tried to give this boy medicine in today's society. You know the problem with a lot of our kids that we bring in, that we have issues with? Listen, and I'm not, I think my whole idea of the spiritual realm is, It's a growing process. I don't completely understand it, but I think God's allowing me to see more things. But you know, it's not about the medicine. That the medicine hurts these kids more than it helps them. Some of you get irritated. We've got a boy we're working with right now, okay? And you can get mad at these kids, okay? But these kids are, okay, we'll get a child in the morning first thing, and I'm just telling you what we see on the bus. Some of you that don't ride the bus, this is what we see. We'll get a young person first thing in the morning. Now, I know this is a side note, but stay with me here. We'll get a young person first thing in the morning, and they get on the bus, and they're excited. They're excited to be on the bus. They sing. Are they a little rowdy? Sure. But they're manageable, okay? By the time they come home, they are, and I hate to use the word zombie, but they are a zombie. It took a while for the med. Why is that? Because they gave them medicine in the morning. When they got on the bus, the medicine hadn't really kicked in yet. They give them to them right before they get on the bus. The medicine hadn't kicked in yet. By the evening, by the time they go home, you can't get them to do anything. You say, "Bro, Chad, what?" There's been some kids that have been causing. I'll tell you one of them. You know what me and Brother Levi told the parents? We would rather have the child without the medicine and have to deal with some issues. Well, Brother Chad, you should just listen. Is that helping the child to do what you want to do and just kick him out? That's not helping him. You know what he's lacking in life is discipline. It's discipline. Now, some of you right now, it's already something in you is like, well, they're just disrupting the sanctity of the service. I'm sorry. But you know, we are the only ones that's going to be able to help that child. You know, we've got one that hasn't been to church for 2 weeks. Why not? Because that is the only way we can discipline him. As church people, that's the only way we have to suspend him from something that he enjoys to do. That's the only way. You know what? He'll be back next week and he'll probably be a handful again. But you know what? He's not on medicine. He is who he is, and we can work with him as a person, not as somebody that's brain dead. I just want to help you with that just a little bit. I have a heart for these young people, okay? And sometimes people that's not involved in the ministry, you know, what would you do if they brought this child to Jesus? Well, just get him away. Get him away. Jesus is too busy. He's disrupting. Look at all these multitude of people here that want to hear Jesus, and this child's disrupting Jesus. Well, listen, folks, Jesus is the only one that can help this child. And Jesus is the only one that can help some of these kids. Is it going to be true for all of them? No. Sadly enough, it's hard to overcome in a week's worth of time, 2 hours that we have with these kids. It's almost impossible. But it's worth a shot. But we see here that, anyway, that was kind of besides the point, but sometimes that irritates me that people don't get so aggravated. You know, when was the last time you asked them their name and, you know, hey, what's your name? You know, they won't listen to you if you don't know their name, I'm sorry, but they're probably not going to listen to you. When was the last time you went to their Sunday school teacher and got a list of the names of their class and said, hey, I want to pray for your class this week? I'm just throwing some things out there. Don't knock it until you've tried it. Verse number 18, end of 18. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And that's what we're doing. We're bringing him unto Jesus. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus, isn't that amazing? What did I just say? You know the problem that is sometimes here? If they get Jesus, and Jesus gets them, that problem will be fixed. Okay? But Jesus took him up by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Okay, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 58. So we see the importance of prayer and fasting. And like I said before, this class is the praying and fasting class. Okay? Of all the classes, this is the one that this is your battleground. Okay? So let's look at some things and let's look at what the Bible says about fasting here. Verse number 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? The first reason that we have to fast here is, number one, to loosen the grip of sin. Why should we fast? To loosen the grip of sin. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness. To loose the bands of wickedness. You know what Jesus did for that boy? He loosed him from the bands of wickedness. Now, I believe that some of these young people are truly saved. I believe that some of them aren't. I believe that there are a lot of church members, personally, that probably, honestly, aren't saved. But that's my... Well, that's a biblical statement, if you want to be honest about it. You know, there's a lot of people who say, Lord, Lord, but, you know, God said, I never knew you. Okay? So, we'll leave that one alone for right now. But, you know, this boy, there could be a lot of these kids that they've never even been saved. Truly been saved. And that's what they need, is Jesus. All right? But to loosen the grip of sin, and that's what Jesus did. He loosed the bands of wickedness for this boy. All right, so that's a reason that we need to to fast and to pray. Now, this could be a bondage of sin for us personally, for me personally. God, I have this besetting sin and I can't kick it. You know what God tells me to do? You need to fast about it. You need to pray about it. Maybe it's somebody else. God, this person has this besetting sin, this thing that keeps them tied up. Well, fast about it. Pray about it. Okay? So to loosen the grip of sin. Number two, why should we fast? To lessen the weight of heavy burdens. To lessen the weight of heavy burdens. You know, a lot of Christians carry around a lot of stuff that's a burden to you. It's not necessarily a sin. It's just a burden, something that you carry. We see that in verse number six. First reason, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens. To undo the heavy burdens. You know, a lot of people, like I said, you carry something. Could be a wayward child. I think that's a lot of people have a loved one, particularly children, that are probably not where they ought to be. You know, I think that requires this kind cometh forth. Remember what was the man concerned about? His child that was having problems. So it was a heavy burden to that man in Mark chapter 9. So to loosen the weight of heavy burdens. So first of all is to loosen the grip of sin. I'm sorry, to lessen the weight of heavy burdens. Number three, verse number six, and to let the oppressed go free and that ye break every yoke. So number three is to let the oppressed go free. Once again, Mark chapter 9, classic example. God gave us that. I think it goes perfectly with Isaiah chapter 58. Okay? He let somebody that was oppressed. Now, there's a difference between, and the pastor has taught this, there's a difference between possession and oppression. You know, a Christian cannot be possessed, but they can be oppressed. Now, I don't know. I don't know about some of these young people. Are they possessed? If they are, they're not saved. But if they're saved, they could be, very well could be oppressed. And I know a lot of Christians, honestly, that are oppressed by something. Something from their past, something, whatever it could be, but they've been oppressed. So it's what? How can we fix that? This kind cometh forth not but by prayer and fasting. Number four. So first of all, we loosen the grip of sin. Number two is to lessen the weight of heavy burdens. Number three is to let the oppressed go free. Number four is to break every yoke. To break every yoke. You know, this kind of goes with the bondage thing. But you know, a yoke is something that you pull with you. You know, if you got two yoke of oxen, they're pulling something all the time. Remember what the Bible says? Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset you. Okay? You know what that is? Okay, I can run. Now, I don't have a lot of stamina, but I can run a couple miles. I could go out right now and run a couple miles. Okay? And not be too bad shape. But if I have to carry a 100-pound weight on my back, it's going to... I doubt I could run 2 miles, honestly. Why? Because there's a weight that I'm carrying that it's hard to carry. Hey, that's two-thirds of my body weight, okay, that I'm carrying extra. And you know, a lot of Christians have that weight. You know what prayer and fasting can do? It can break the yoke, that burden that you're just trying to pull with you all the time. What can be those yokes? Materialism, that's a big yoke. We pull the world's plow so many times. Think about that. We pull the world's plow. What are you doing? We're doing the work of the world. That's what the Israelites were doing in Egypt. They were building Pharaoh's kingdoms. And because of that, they weren't able to go worship God the way that they were supposed to. Because why? Because they were in the world building the world for the rulers of the world. Materialism is a big thing. Relationships. You know, sometimes there's just some relationships that you ought to break. Hey, let me just help a spirituality thing here. If somebody breaks a bad relationship, don't get mad at the person that broke that relationship off. Okay? Don't get mad at them. If it's something that's dragging you down and you break that relationship off, don't get mad at the person that, you know, broke their relationship off. All right? Be happy for the person, because you know what that is? That's a yoke. That's something that they're carrying with them all the time. It could be any of those things. And you can go, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit work on that one. There are a lot of things. A lot of things it can be. Materialism, I think, is a huge one for Christians today. Number five, to help meet the needs of others. Look at verse number 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him up, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. You know what prayer and fasting can help you do? Remember, it weakens the flesh. So if you weaken your flesh, you're not as selfish. And so if you're not as selfish, you're going to help other people. You know, so many people have a us for and no more mentality. Well, if it's not for my church, and if it's not for my family, I don't want to help people. That's not what the Bible teaches. Okay? Now, does it look there, look at the, okay. The Bible is a very balanced book. Look there at the last statement, all right? And that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. You know what? You're supposed to help your family, but it's giving them a hand up, not necessarily a handout. Now, you know, my dad's helped me with stuff. My dad's helped me with business things that I've done. But you know what? I try to pay him back. I give him that, whatever he's helped me with. I'm helping him right now, you know? And that kind of reverses, I think, as you get older. You know, the whole, you know, they take care of you when you're a child, and then it kind of, I don't know, kind of goes the other direction, I guess. That's the way it's supposed to work anyway, I think. But it's true. You think about it. You think about it. You know, I try to help him with stuff now. God's given me the strength to be able to help him. And you were that way, I hope, for your parents. You know, when your parents got to the place that they just couldn't do things as much anymore, you should be the one there to take care of them. So your flesh, don't hide yourself from your own flesh. You know, some people are great about helping other people, but they don't care about their own family. And that shouldn't be. But there should be a balance there. There should be a balance. But it ultimately comes back to helping other people. Helping other people. So reasons to fast. And that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. He helped that boy. He helped that man. So number one is to loosen the grip of sin. Number two is to lessen the weight of heavy burdens. Number three is to let the oppressed go free. Number four is to break every yoke. Number five is to help meet the needs of others. Five reasons that you should fast and pray. All right? Now remember, then look at verse number 8. In light of all that, everybody said they wanted verse 8 through 11. So in light of all that, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a water garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. You know what the Bible says? Hey, if you'll put your flesh second and fast, and like I said, put your flesh second, I'll give you the things that you need if you'll do that for other people. I remember Pastor Ross preached a steward, I think it was, he called it the stewardship series. And the thing that he kept saying over and over again is God wants us to be a channel, not a reservoir, okay? God wants us to be a channel. God doesn't give us things just so we can get more and more prosperous. God gives us things so that we can just keep distributing it. Okay? So God wants us to be that channel that can distribute things. So five reasons to fast. I'll do them one more time. You'll be out early, all right? Five reasons to fast: to loosen the grip of sin, to lessen the weight of heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke, and to help meet the needs of others. Think about it. You say, "Bro Chad, I'm struggling with some things in my personal life." Well, I think God will give you those things if you're willing to sacrifice your flesh to fast some. Let's pray. Father, it's a short, simple lesson, Lord, from your word. And it's neat how Isaiah and what he wrote ties exactly in with what we saw in Mark chapter 9. And Lord, help us to be compassionate for others. Lord, help us to not be so self-centered, but help us to crucify the flesh and to die daily, Lord. And help me to be better about this. Help me to be compassionate about these young people that come in here, and not just the bus kids, but even our own young people, Lord, that, Lord, they struggle with things. And Lord, I pray that you just help them and bless them. Help me to be better about just telling my flesh no and putting the Spirit first. Lord, I thank you for your love for us. Thank you for these good people, Lord. Thank you for just their prayers and the power that is in this room this morning. Lord, thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.